Whoop, whoop, whoop.
It is, Mr. Phillips, sir. And may one ask that a wide one blew one siren like that?
Of course. One was merely checking if our captain, Commander Murray, was still awake.
Well, he must be, sir. He's still standing, stood upright.
Yes, I know what you mean, because ever since we sailed, he's been standing there looking like a chap who thinks he's about to solve his little problem, only to realise that he's in the ladies instead.
Well, it happens to each and all and every one of us, sir. Commander Murray, sir.
Commandment, sir! Medicine duty. See the MO if it hasn't cleared up in 2 days.
Commander Murray, sir, we thought you ought to know that the ship's on fire.
The davits for the lifeboats have jammed.
The engine room has blown up.
The men have mutiny.
We're going down like a stone.
Oh. Good.
Carry on.
Commander Murray, what's wrong?
Oh, I'm sorry, chaps. My mind was on somebody. Something else.
Sexy swine.
I never saw. There's nothing wrong. I tell you, there's nothing. Yes, by Jimmy, there is.
Chief, he's cracked.
No, sir, no. Not potty. Just upset.
You don't know the torment of hell my soul's been through these last 2 days. All right, I admit it. My marriage is over. My dear wife, Rietekins, I mean Mrs. Murray, has found another man.
Lummy.
Stow me! Have you got proof?
When you've been married for as short a time as Rietekins, I mean Mrs. Murray, and I have, you don't need proof. There are signs. Very definite signs. We haven't communicated for weeks.
Oh, nasty.
May one ask who is the usurper who's cut your communications?
It's the Naval Horseman of the Year, Gosport and Southwest Division, Lieutenant Commander, the Honourable Finney Stamford Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, Leslie Phillips, and John Pertwee.
There must be something you can do about this swine, sir.
I thought there was, but it failed.
You don't mean you strapped him to a slab in a cellar with this razor-sharp pendulum swinging above him, swinging closer and closer until it finally cuts off his...
No, Mr. I sunk to even greater depths.
Blimey, what the kiss me artist did you do, sir?
I used my pliers to cut his stirrups.
Did it work?
No, the pliers broke.
Oh, well, I think I can help you there, sir. Nunky is a very nice, fully tempered steel pliers, only £3.50 a pair. Or £7 if you want both halves.
No, thank you, Chief. I do not intend to stoop to these depths again in future. Oh, dear. I think that in such a short space of time, my palmy days of mucking out the stables behind Bouncing Betty for Rita are over. Whenever I smell that unforgettable tang, horse liniment, horse... that dainty trip-trop of feet. It will always remind me of...
Bouncing Betty, sir?
No, Rita!
Steady, sir, steady. Now, steady, sir. This is no time to crack. Be a chap's chap. Keep a chap's stiff upper chap's lip. in front of the other chaps.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. You're absolutely right. I shan't forget how you stood by me in my hour of need. In moments of crisis like this, one finds out who one's friends really are. Good man.
Well, if I'd thought of it, well, I'd have chatted you about chaps being chaps as well, sir.
I know you would, Chief. You're a splendid fellow as well. Charles, you know, even with stalwarts like you two loyal colleagues about, the problem and the agony of it still remain. That swine Stamford Johnson is still hell-bent on stealing Rita's affection.
Hang on a minute, sir. I've got a little idea that might solve your marital contretemps. Now, come along, sir. Tell us frankly, sir. How's your seat?
Now, look here, Chief. I hardly think that the condition of my bottle is any concern of yours.
I think what the Chief is trying to say, sir, is your chair comfortable? Would you like a cushion?
No, I'm not, Mr. Phillips, sir. I would have thought that anybody involved in the jumping equestricals would have realised that Pertley was talking horsey talk.
Horsey talk? Hey. Gosh, I never realised that horses chatted amongst themselves.
What I was getting at, Commanding Murray says, can you ride an horse?
Well, nearly.
Nearly? How can anybody nearly ride an horse?
Well, a few years ago, I entered the donkey competition on the sands at Broadstairs, and I won. Uncle Mac presented me with a balloon and a celluloid windmill on a stick in front of everybody.
Gosh. No wonder you're a lieutenant commander.
Well, winning windmills is hardly earning them, sir, but it's a start.
Now, what are you getting at, Chief? Are you suggesting that I should take up show jumping and compete against the Honourable Freddy?
Exactly, sir. Do what like Drake done. Play bowls and beat the Spaniards at their own game.
By Harvey Smith, you're right, Chief. I shall throw the ball that in Stamford Johnson's face at dinner tonight.
Now, me, I have learned a lot today. Horses chat amongst themselves. Spaniards play bowls.
Oh, shut up, sir.
Rita will soon find out what it's like to feel the whiplash of my tongue.
Oh, Stevikins. Do come in.
Oh, right, Rita. You'll notice it's not Ritakins this time, baby. Out of my way. My back. I think I've broken it. My back.
Oh, you must have slipped on the lino, my darling. Let me help you up off your poor little rumpy. There. Why did you bang on the door like that? I mean, why didn't you use your key?
Because nobody will give me one. I keep on asking your father, my daddy-in-law, for one, but he says your mother won't give him one either.
Stevikins, there's no need to shout at your etiquette.
I'm not shouting. I'm merely talking loudly. Oh, all right, Rita. You'll notice it's not Ritakins this time, baby. You're not going to like this one bit.
Guess what happened today, Stevikins?
A
lady called and gave me this 3 aerosol tin of Mr. Gloss Four Polish. And I've done the lino already. See, that's how you slid and nearly broke your back. I think it looks frightfully super, don't you?
My back. I'd rather not say. No, look here, Rita. You're not going to like this one bit.
And it's so easy to use. Look.
Jacket. My jacket's ruined. Oh, gosh, that stuff's sticky. It's like glue. By Jiminy, it is glue.
Oh, I do apologize, Stevikins. It was all my fault. I shouldn't have pressed that silly little button and sprayed your jacket and face with wax. Still, on second thoughts, you look awfully elegant now you're shiny.
Better shiny than slimy, like the Honourable Freddy Stamford Johnson. Now, listen, Rita, you're not going to like this one bit.
Yes, you'll have to tell me later, darling. They're waiting for us.
Don't tell me. Everybody's more important than I am. Mm-hmm. There's Freddykins, Vice Admiral Prout, the new president of the Naval Jim Carter, Admiral Fafont Bittet. It's a wonder you don't ask your horses, Bouncing Betty and Gorgeous George to join us in the dining room.
Oh, don't be so silly.
silly. They have their oats in the stable.
Thank you, young Shingles.
Shingles? 10 to 1, his mother was frightened by Brighton Beach.
Oh, incidentally, young Shingles, the next time your top set slip down, either shut your cake hole so we can't see them or dip them, will you? They shine like a couple of car headlamps, full on.
Thank you, Admiral.
I dig in, everybody. Only gin and tea, I'm afraid. My wife, Netta, finished off the scotch and the brandy last night.
I heard a frightfully funny thing in the Hay and Winnie the other night. One chap said to another chap who's a bit shaky, I said, do you drink much? And the other chap said, no. I spill most of it.
Why, you're a blasted jolly witty, Freddy. Beats me how you think them up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have an important announcement to make.
Galloping glossops! Look, everybody! It's an advert for wet look shoe polish.
Yeah, he could even be Madam's husband, Mr. Two Sword himself.
Well, I am sorry, everybody, but Stevekins is a little overwrought.
Yes, he looks as if he's been undersealed as well.
You're not going to like this, Freddy Stanford Johnson, and neither is Rita.
And you're not going to like this, Murray. Netta's gone on strike. There's nothing to eat, so you can either stay here with your stomach sounding like blasted Vesuvius erupting, or you can come down to the pub with us and have a ghastly plastic pie.
Yes, come with us, old boy. Live dangerously. Be a galloping gourmet. And if you're not galloping before you eat the pie, you will be afterwards.
I will not be diverted from my purpose. I insist on being heard.
Excuse me, everyone.
Oh, Lord, watch your wallets. I knew he'd been too quiet. What's the blasted trouble, Vice Admiral Prout?
Well, I realize you all think that I'm just a silly old fool to have taken on the residency of the Naval Gymkhana, because you probably persuaded the other 59 candidates to withdraw and lumber me with it. But I happen to think you're wrong. I want to be president. I've always wanted to be president. How dare you think of me as a silly old fool, eh? In future, I'll trouble you to keep your stupid opinions to yourself, and I'll have you know that I'll be as good a president of the Naval Gymkhana as anyone else. Probably better, so let that be an end to me!
It's all that Algerian homemade wine he drinks, you know. Many a shoe repairer would give gold dust to use his liver for soling and healing.
I heard this terribly funny Sir Horsey story when I was in Stockholm for the finals last week with Anne and Mark.
Please, Freddy. Don't you tell us. Go on.
I was going to.
Will you listen to me?
Oh, don't be such a bore, Stevekins. Freddy's story is an absolute wine. Yeah,
thank you. Anyway, you see, this farmer chappy came out for this other farmer fellow, you see, and he said...
Now, look here, I demand to be sure.
Oh, do shut up, Murray. Freddy's telling us a very funny story.
Thank you, Admiral. Anyway, this farmer chappy said to the other farmer fellow, you see, what was it you gave your horsey when it were ill? And so this other farmer fella replied, I give my horsey turpentine. Anyway, 3 weeks later, you see, this farmer fella and the farmer chappy met again.
Shush.
Anyway, the first farmer said to the other farmer, I thought you said you give your horse turpentine when he was ill. And the other farmer chappy said, I did. First farmer said, but I gave mine turpentine and he died. And so the other farmer fella said, so did mine.
Lieutenant Commander Stanford Johnson, I am issuing a challenge.
Do hurry up, Murray. My stomach's waiting for that plastic pie and a touch of instant indigestion.
Lieutenant Commander Stanford Johnson, I am throwing the gauntlet into your oily, smirking face. What? You're about to come down a peg or two because I, not you, are about to become the Naval Horseman of the Year in the Gosport Southwest Division.
Miss Stevikins, you haven't got a horse yet. And you can't jump over those 5-bar gates on your own.
I have got a horse. I've hired him from Rentenag. His name is Firework Display.
Firework Display? Well, after Firework Display has competed against my bunny boy, your horse here will be rechristened Damp Squib.
Madame Fong. Oh, good morning, First Officer Puce.
Carry on, Randall. Not routine call. Settling down nicely. Any problems at all?
There is something, but it's nothing to do with work, ma'am. It concerns a man.
No, I was afraid it might. Your problem it is domestic, then.
You see, I'm terribly keen on a certain sub-lieutenant. His name is Phillips.
Yes, I thought it might be. Obviously, octopus paws has struck again.
Know him, Mark?
Well, there isn't a wren between Portsmouth and Hong Kong who doesn't know him.
Oh, that doesn't put me off. I mean, off, Mom. I just know that I can straighten him out. I'm sure that underneath that playboy facade, there's a young, virile, clean-living, pure-thinking man trying to get out.
Yes, well, that's what all my other gals said. They tried, but it didn't come off. Well, since you've confided in me, look at the time. My advice is, get somebody else's advice. Preferably a man's. Well, I can't stop now because I'm off to the courts for a game of golf.
Oh, thank you, Marjorie Bruce.
Ren Barrett.
Yes, Captain Purvey?
Could you spare me a minute?
Certainly, sir. Shall I bring my notebook and pencil?
Well, you can if you like. As long as they're not too heavy for you. if they are, just say the word and I'll arrange for a rating to carry them for you.
Well, I think I can manage, sir.
Come in. Oh, please, come in. Ah, Red Barrett, do come in. Sit down. I just wanted to know if you were settling in all right. No problems.
Oh, no, sir. Well, at least not as far as being your secretary is concerned.
Ah, I knew there was something. Oh, not that I wish to probe, but does it concern the opposite, if you'll pardon the expression, sex?
Well, if we're going to be frank, yes, it does, sir. You see, I'm extremely fond of this certain gentleman. He doesn't seem to know that I'm here.
Nonsense, of course I know. I mean, I'm sure he does. I presume he's an officer in the Royal Navy?
Oh, yes. Has been for some time.
Now, what's your problem with your mysterious Mr. X?
I've been warned that every wren from Portsmouth to Hong Kong fancies him.
Really? Well, I'm amazed. I had no idea that I was...
that Mr. X was so popular.
Oh, but he is.
Oh, dear, I do hope that neither of you have mentioned anything of this fatal attraction of Mr. X to Mrs. X? I mean, Mrs. Povey.
Well, of course not. Why should she be interested in the cavortings of Sub-Lieutenant Phillips?
Mr. Phillips? What's he got to do with it?
He's Mr. X. Well, who think it was?
Yeah, nobody at all. I'm ready to dictate now. Commander Weatherby, Ministry of Defense, Whitehall. I am informed that you have graciously consented to present the prizes of the forthcoming Royal Naval Gosport and Southwest Division Gymkhana. Naturally, I shall be delighted to receive you as I am in charge of the...
Excuse me, Commander Murray, but are you all right up there on that horse?
Yes, of course. Apart from aching from saddle to stirrups, I'm perfectly all right.
Yeah, well, excuse me for asking, sir, but are you sure? I mean, you've been up on that horse all day. You haven't even got down to go to the refreshment tent.
are you certain you wouldn't like a cup of tea or a nice long drink?
No! I'm perfectly happy up here. Have either of you seen my dear wife, Rita Kins? I mean, Mrs. Murray, around the, anywhere?
No sign of her at all, sir. And I haven't seen any sign of her all day. No, that's not quite true. Not absolutely true. Every time I passed Stamford Johnson's horse box, she was hanging about... Oh, chief. You trod on my foot.
No, I didn't. You're mistaken, sir. It must have been Commander Murray's horse what backfired.
Rita, hanging around that cad's horse box while I'm stuck up here on firework display?
Yeah, well, that's not strictly true either, sir. She was only leaning against his horse box, eh? Wouldn't you, Mr. Murray? Only leaning. But looking longingly at yours, which, if you recall, is parked next to his.
Oh, yes, well, I suppose it's possible, yes. Well, thank heaven for that.
Incidentally, Commander Murray, sir, as your two horse boxes are parked next to each other, did you happen to notice if Bonnie Boy and Firework Display had a bit of a chat about this contest at all? And they could have fixed the whole thing between them.
Don't be dark, sir. If them horses was rigging this contest, they'd have rigged it better than this. That's why we're waiting for the final eliminating round. As far as them horses is concerned, they're stuck with a tie.
Lummy. I knew they'd chatted amongst themselves and wore collars, but I had no idea they wore ties.
Oh, shut up! Here, there goes the Honourable Fred and Bonnie Boy now.
Well, viewers, I think it's safe to say that we've seen show-jumping history made this afternoon. Don't you agree, Barry?
Oh, yes, I do agree, Edgar. I mean, if nothing else... Stanford Johnson's round was incredibly spectacular.
Now let's have another look at it through the action replay.
Right.
There you go, straight at the first fence.
And that's where Stanford Johnson and Bonnie Boy parted company.
up and away he goes.
And sideways as well.
Just see how he goes up in the air, his body describing an almost perfect arc.
And down he comes, onto the stretched canvas of the refreshment tent.
And that's where his troubles really started.
Yes. Yes, that tent canvas must have acted like a trampoline. He really came off there at quite a rate.
Oh, no, see how he almost clears the pearl.
It's just his toe cap that dislodges the top one.
Four falls.
Yes, that's what caused his front end to dip a bit, making him skim across the surface of the water jump at about 5 knots.
Yes, I remember as he passed me, I heard him mutter something that sounded like, "In hell."
but of course, we'll get confirmation of his actual message from the hospital later. Meanwhile, there he goes towards the triple.
As you can see, he makes no attempt to clear it, but whizzes through underneath.
And pulls up at the side in that steaming heap of...
used hay.
What a pity he didn't clear the last fence.
If he had, he'd have been the first rider to do a complete round without his horse.
Incidentally, I've been to the stables, and I'd like to reassure all viewers who have been phoning in about Bonnie Boy that he's perfectly all right.
Not so much as a bruised fetlock.
Yes. This unique display of unhorsemanship means that the runner-up, Lieutenant Commander Murray on Firework Display, wins the competition.
And I think they're almost ready for the presentation. Come.
And rosettes.
Is no good arguing, Commander Murray, sir. You've got to get down your forward display to receive your cup.
I can't! I used some of Rita's spray to polish the saddle, and I'm stuck to it. I can't get off my aerosol.
Oh, nasty. So that's why you didn't fall off.
Yeah, exactly. My communications were fused.
Oh, Stevikins, I'm so proud of you. You are a horsey chap at large.
I've no desire to be another Stanford Johnson, thank you. I just wanted to prove that I was the better man.
But you always have been, Stevikins.
You mean you never have been potty about Freddy?
No, not likely. I've always thought Freddy was potty. I mean, you're my man. Always.
Oh, joyous day.
Ladies and gentlemen, as Captain Povey, R.N., it is my duty to introduce Commander Weatherby, who will present the prizes. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm right,
Murray, Leslie Phillips and John Pertwee have been riding to victory in the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey, Heather Chasen was Rita, Tenniel Evans was Admiral Fafant Bittix, Michael Bates was the commentator, April Walker was Wren Barrett, the announcer was Michael Meach, the show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnson.
Leslie Phillips is now appearing in Roger's Last Stand at the Duke of York's Theatre, London, and Richard Caldicott is appearing in No Sex, Please, We're British at the Strand Theatre in London. This...